is well struck, and this game is tied on the 40th home run by Jorge Soler, and that ricocheted off the Royals Hall of Fame.
Soler Power, his 40th homer, increasing his franchise record for homers in a season as a Royal. Jorge Soler joins Rafael Palmeiro, Jose Canseco, and Tony Perez as the only four Cuban-born players with a 40 home run, 100 RBI season. Soler, about a 450-foot bomb yesterday, and the Royals do win again because it's September, and there's nothing that says winning baseball than Royals baseball in September. The Royals do win last night by a final of, what was the final there? There we go. 5-4. I thought it was 5-4. I want to make sure 5-4. No, it was 6-5 the night before. Royals won four in a row, and they'll go for a three-game sweep this afternoon, as it will be Glenn Sparkman on the hill for the boys in blue, a record of 3-10, ERA just under 6, and it'll actually be the 12-15 first pitch today as the Royals and the Tigers wrap up their series. Then the Royals will go to Miami to take on the Marlins on Friday, and then Saturday, and then on Sunday. And Friday, Jorge Lopez will be the starter. He's been inserted back into the rotation. Eric Skoglund goes to the bullpen. Of course, Brad Keller's been shut down for the rest of the year. Ryan McBroom, who they acquired from the Yankees, he was a minor leaguer. He hit a lot of home runs. At the age of 27, they want to take a look at him at first base, mainly because Ryan O'Hearn hasn't grabbed the job. McBroom with his first career RBI, and of course, Soler's 40th homer. And the Royals get the W by a final of 5-4 last night, winning their fourth in a row, and they're 3-0 in the month of September. Local sports information, Dusty.
Yes, today we have many area teams that are going to open up their cross-country seasons and cross-country competitions. So a lot of area teams that could have a lot of success this season, and really looking at two that could bring home trophies again in 2019 in Class 1A. The Lincoln girls won the 1A state title last year. They have everybody back that was on that team except for Aubrey Donnelly. J.C. Bass, Shelby Ford, and Reagan Stewart all helped the cause last year in a state championship run. And the Lady Leopards start their quest again here this afternoon at Tescott at 3 o'clock. Also from the area at Tescott will be Lakeside, Osborne, Sylvan, Lucas, and Pike Valley. And on the 1A boys' side, the St. John's Blue Jays hope to have success again this season on the course. They finished third last year after winning the 1A title in 2017. A few veterans return with a lot of experience. Caleb Eilert finished second place. The junior is back this year after finishing second in the state individually last season. And seniors Brandon Bates and Braden Dameron are returning multi-time state qualifiers as well. St. John's opens their season this afternoon at the Concordia Invitational at 4:15, and Beloit also starting there this afternoon at Concordia. So those are the local athletes and teams that will be opening their cross-country seasons today. Also in volleyball, Thunder Ridge is at the Palco Triangular this afternoon. Palco and Plainville beginning at 4 o'clock with varsity action there in Palco this afternoon. So let's look at what's going on as far as our local sports here today. Also, we have our high school football locker room chats coming up tonight again. Our second night of the season, as we'll talk with the coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas here this evening. So stay tuned for that around 5:10 this evening on Katy Country 94. And then we'll lead into our coverage tomorrow night, game night coverage on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3. And we'll start with the Football Express from Cunningham Telephone and Cable around 5:40. And then we'll move on to our games of the week on Katy Country 94, Lakeside at Thunder Ridge. Also online at katycountry94.com with pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. And then Z96.3 Through the Lake online video stream at ncksports.com and audio at katycountry94.com. Beloit's at Fairbury, Nebraska. Again, pregame at 6:30. And then we'll finish up with our local high school football scoreboard show from State Farm Insurance around 10:05 tomorrow night as well. So that's a look at what's going on in the football world. We had a Northern Plains League football preview this morning on Katy Country 94 Part 1. If you missed that, you can find it at katycountry94.com and ncksports.com here today.
All right. Had a chance to catch up with the cross-country coach?
Yeah, Ben Letourneau from St. John's, and he's looking forward to the opportunities this year. Feels like his team should be pretty good again.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what we can do this year. We've got quite a few seniors this year. We've got five total seniors. Some of them are returners, and we've got one new runner as a senior this year. But yeah, we've got a total of 11 boys on the team this year, which is the most that we've ever had. And so we're just excited to see what we can do with all those returning runners as well as the new ones as well. The big key this year is making sure everybody stays healthy. Again, we've got the numbers. It's just a matter of everybody being able to stay in shape to get the training in. I think we're set to do well.
So St. John's, again, trying for another trophy. Again, third place last year, first place in 2017, and just looking at what other teams have back, they've got a really good chance of having a lot of success this year if they stay healthy and are able to do that. So looking forward to it here cross-country starting today for a lot of teams.
All right, so all the sports information locally, as we said, nckssports.com, and also check out kdcountry94.com as well. Okay, so the NFL football season begins, but before I get to that, David Glass, current owner of the Royals, he's agreed to sell the team to John Sherman, who's from Kansas City, entrepreneur and a businessman himself, for a cool $1 billion. David Glass was interviewed by Jeffrey Flanagan yesterday, and it's interesting because I always thought that his son Dan would take over the team, and he said that Dan enjoyed being president and running some operations for about 20 years or so, but that it was time for him maybe to do it, make at his age, do something different. And David Glass said, my health is still fine, but it was just time for us to step away. And he goes, well, we wanted to make sure. I guess John Sherman approached David Glass about buying the Royals in 2016, right after the Royals won the World Series, which you talk about striking the iron when been high,
mm-hmm.
That the Royals could have been sold then. But the Royals, David Glass said, I'm not interested in selling, but he kept John Sherman in mind because he'd known John Sherman for a while. And so, as a result, John Sherman ended up being a minority owner of the Cleveland Indians. And then David Glass, he was asked how long he'd been thinking about selling the team. He said, well, kind of beginning of this year, we started to think about it, talk about it, and we wanted to make sure that the team stayed in Kansas City, and we gave John a call. And one thing led to another, and then, hey, let me write you a check for $1 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. So with a B, please. Not an M, a B, and we got a deal. So John Sherman will be the new owner of the Royals. That's supposed to be passed. Nobody's expecting any kind of hiccups at all. 75% of Major League Baseball owners have to approve it, and they'll probably get well over that approval. And that will be coming up, it sounds like, in November. So a few more months, and the Royals will be turned over to John Sherman and his investing group, and they'll be the new owners of the Kansas City Royals Baseball Club. So that'll be interesting. All right, the NFL kicking out their season tonight with just one game, and it is the Packers at the Bears, the 100th season of NFL football. And, you know, this is interesting because I'm looking at lots of predictions. A lot of people are picking Packers. A lot of people are picking Vikings. I've seen so many people pick on the Vikings to make it to the Super Bowl, and that's what Art Haynes said yesterday, our guest on the Sports Ticket from the Chiefs Radio Network. He picked the Chiefs and the Vikings to meet up in Super Bowl 50, and then, or not Super Bowl 50, but it'd be 50 years later after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl against the Vikings, so it'd be Super Bowl 53, isn't it, this year? I can't keep track. I think it's 53.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
Sounds right. So
Art thinks it'd be the Chiefs over the Vikings. I'm not completely sold on Kirk Cousins, so I can't go that far. But it is interesting because there's always a team or two that you don't expect that's going to make the playoffs, maybe even make a deep run. And then there's always a team or two that you think is going to be really good, see the Packers last year, that then ended up going 6-9-1. So the season opener tonight, Packers at the Bears. It's at 7:20 tonight. And then the NFL season, the rest of the games coming up on Sunday. And, of course, one of those games would include the Chiefs at Jacksonville. And that'll be at noon. There's a writer on CBSSports.com already picking the Chiefs to get upset in week one at Jacksonville. I don't see it, but okay. Then there are two Monday night games as well. They always do two Monday night games to kick off the NFL season. So the NFL season gets started in earnest tonight. Packers at the Bears, which means it's time for our unquestioned, undoubtedly guaranteed locks. Take this to Vegas and lose all your money as to playoff picks and Super Bowl picks. So my buddy Todd in Omaha, we always do this. We bet a case. Excuse me, don't bet. We talk about a case of adult beverage, and I've won the last couple of years. It was nice to collect when he came up finally for the first time in 2 years. I said, you know, it's good to see you because when you do come, I know I'm going to get some beverages. So, but this year I did it different. He usually sends me his picks, and then I reply with my picks. And this year I sent my picks first because I feel really confident in these picks this year. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do the predictions right now. You can play along at home if you like, if you're an NFL fan. And if you're not, well, just bear with us till we get to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, okay? And U.S. Open talk and MIAA football. The AFC, let's start with the one that's going to be very, 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 very easy, I would imagine. The AFC East. Dusty, who you got? You're going with the Bills, aren't you?
The Dolphins.
The Bills are going to crack through. The Dolphins, Josh Rosen's going to save the day. What do you say,
Dusty? The Patriots.
The Patriots. Well, gee, I guess I'll go with the Patriots, too. That's boring. AFC North, we got the Ravens at 10-6. They won the division a year ago. Steelers 9-6-1. No Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown. Could be addition by subtraction. Browns 7-8-1. Got Odell Beckham Jr. Got Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry. Kareem Hunt will be eligible week 9. And the Cincinnati Bengals finished last year at 6-10. We go with the AFC North. Who you picking, Dusty?
I'm going to go Ravens again.
You're going Ravens again. Baltimore Ravens. All right. I am going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to be actually a team this year, and they got rid of their malcontents. And they're going to go to a two-back system. James Conner's a good running back. I think the Steelers are a team that's going to bounce back after not picking the playoffs a year ago. And Dusty likes the Baltimore Ravens. Okay. We go to the AFC South, where... Well, I think a lot of people are thinking it's either the Colts or the Texans, and then all of a sudden Andrew Luck, he retires unexpectedly, and so now a lot of people are jumping all over the Houston bandwagon. There are a few people I've seen that pick in Jacksonville, and not a lot of love for Tennessee. I'm going to be boring as well. I'm going to go with the Texans. I like what they lost Clowney. They traded him away. They did get a left tackle on Tunsil for Miami, and they needed to address that offensive line. If Deshaun Watson can play all year and stay healthy, Houston's going to win this division, in my opinion. But that's the question. Can he stay healthy? Texans' defense is always solid, led by J.J. Watt. If he can stay healthy, they did lose Tyrann Mathieu in the secondary, of course, to the Chiefs in free agency. But I'm going to go with the Houston Texans to win this division. Dusty, who you got?
I have no reason to go on the limb, but I'm going to pick the Jaguars.
You're going to pick Jacksonville. So
yeah.
That means this first game for the Chiefs could be harder than some people may anticipate. The AFC West, I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm feeling really good about the Chiefs this year. I think the defense will be improved. I think Mahomes will be even better, although statistically probably not. I do like the pickup of LeSean McCoy. I think Damian Williams is going to have a big year if he stays healthy. I like how they added speed to the offense. So I think the only thing that stops the Chiefs this year are injuries. I got the Chiefs win the AFC West, which they've done the last, what, 2 or 3 years? Is it 3 years? I think it's 3 years.
Three years.
When you win a lot, you lose track. So they tied with the Chargers, topped the division, but won the tiebreaker a year ago. I'm going Chiefs. What are you going?
Chiefs.
Chiefs. Okay, time for the AFC wild card selections. This is always fun. This is usually where Dusty and I differ. Dusty, who are your two wild card picks?
I got the Chargers, and I really wanted to go with the Browns, but I don't think they're quite there yet. I'm going to pick the Steelers as the second.
So you got Baltimore and Pittsburgh out of that division.
Yep.
I'm similar, except I am going to go with the Browns. So I got the Chargers and the Browns, and you've got the Chargers and Pittsburgh. So you got Baltimore in and Cleveland out. I got Cleveland in and Baltimore out. That's really about the only difference.
Yeah.
That, and you took Jacksonville, and I take Houston. All right, to the NFC, which to me, the NFC was harder. For me, it was harder to do the NFC than it was the AFC. The AFC, to me, didn't take much time for me to think too much about it, which the less you think about it, usually the predictions are a little bit better. So let's start in NFC East. Who you got in that division?
Dallas.
The Cowboys. All right, I do too. I like Dallas this year, as long as they can control the drama around their franchise. NFC North. We got the Bears, Vikings, Packers, Lions. I think this is a tough division to pick. I can make a case for the Bears, who went 12-4 a year ago, and a lot of people are just thinking they're going to regress. But Trubisky should be better. They got the Montgomery they like from Iowa State as a running back. If they solve their kicker situation, that'd be really big. Their defense is good. Khalil Mack. A lot of people sleeping on the Bears. A lot of people, like I said, like the Vikings. And, of course, there's always people jumping on the Packer bandwagon, and that's what I'm going to do. I don't know why, to be quite honest with you, because something tells me this is a dumb pick. But I'm going to believe Aaron Rodgers has one more big year in him. Packers defense, I think, will be improved. I still don't know who the heck's going to run the ball for this team, per se. But I'll go. I looked at the schedule. I like the Packers schedule. I still think the Bears, I just don't think they're as good as they were a year ago at 12-4. I think they did exceed expectations. But I do think that they'll be right there in the final weeks for the division championship. I'm taking Green Bay.
I got the Packers, too.
Well, I should have changed my pick. All right, the NFC South. I think a lot of people are going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Saints.
I'm taking the Saints.
All right. You got the Falcons, the Panthers, who should be improved. I think Atlanta could be a wild card this year. And then Tampa Bay, who I think will be better with Bruce Arians as head coach. NFC West, you got the Rams at 13-3 a year ago. Seahawks, 10-6, 49ers, and Cardinals bringing up the rear. Who you taking, NFC West?
Rams.
Rams. I'm going to take the Rams as well, although I could see them having a little bit of a regression. I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks win that division. The 49ers should be better. I think the Cardinals will be a little bit better. That division will be a little bit more difficult this year. So we are in agreement on everything in the NFC. Yikes. Okay, that means all of them are wrong. Time for the wild cards. Dusty, who are your two wild cards? And this is where I really struggle because I think four other teams I haven't picked that could make the wild card. And I really actually, I have not done this in a while. I actually looked at each of the four teams' schedules and plotted out. I usually don't do that much homework, which means this is going to be horrible.
You know how much homework I did? Zero. I wrote it down when I came in this morning.
Yes, yes. Way to prepare. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have things in the back of your mind anyway, and you think you're ready to pick these. But I picked the Bears and Eagles.
Bears and Eagles are Dusty's wild card picks.
Man, the Seattle.
You got Seattle out?
I won in, but.
You got Seattle out?
Yeah.
Well, I got the Seahawks in. I like Seattle. I like what they've done on the defensive side to address some things. And Russell Wilson is a stud. And Pete Carroll just seems to always get that team up and going, no matter whatever defections they may have or injuries they have. They're kind of a throwback team that can run the ball, but then Wilson can make some plays. I like Seattle. I was debating between the Bears, the Vikings, and the Eagles. That's what it came down to for my final spot.
I think we had the same teams we were debating on those wild card
spots,
too.
Which means Atlanta and Carolina are the ones
exactly.
that are the wild cards. Or the 49ers, who some people like them, too, with Garoppolo back. But I end up going with the Eagles. I think the Redskins and Giants can be bad. And so I went with the Eagles because I think just a little bit weaker division than obviously the Bears and Vikings are in.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the Eagles in Seattle as my wild card. So we've only got one difference there. I've got Seattle and you've got the Bears. Now time for our Super Bowl picks. And I'll let Dusty go. And it's Super Bowl 54, I've been told. So it shows how much I pay attention.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 54 is what John Bowden says. And John Bowden would never give me inaccurate information, but he's right. 54, Super Bowl 54. That's the goal. You want to get to Miami Gardens, Florida, Hard Rock Stadium. That's where you want to be. Super Bowl pick, Dusty Dynas.
I have no reason to be shy about this. I'm picking the Chiefs over the Saints.
Chiefs over the Saints. All right.
We get the Super Bowl we should have gotten last year.
You know, that was my original prediction in my head automatically. But I'm like, we're not going to get what we want. It just doesn't happen.
No.
And I'm with you. I think the Patriots' reign has to end, doesn't it? I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, no question. But if it isn't this year, then when? I'm going to say the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl as well, which means a complete jinx by Dusty and I. And so is Art Haynes, by the way.
And Art, yep.
Art had the Chiefs over the Vikings. You have the Chiefs over the Saints. I've got the Chiefs over, and it pains me to say this, although I will really enjoy if this happens and their Chiefs win the Super Bowl. You know what I'm going to pick here?
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I was going to do it, but I was like, I can't put them in the Super Bowl.
I've got friends that are Cowboy fans. I don't know, man. Something tells me the Cowboys are going to be good this year. I got the Chiefs over the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, which... You know, I'm going to be nervous about that. That would be awesome.
I want to
beating America's team.
I want to see Riley squirm.
Oh,
just having
awesome.
The Chiefs and Cowboys both in the Super Bowl and see how he feels about that one. That's what I want to see.
That would be something. I'll be honest. I'll be cheering against the Cowboys and against my pick, but I don't know. I just think the NFC, the Cowboys are due, and the Saints. I think it's easy to say them, but they've had a heartbreak hotel the last 2 years, and I just don't know if they can even. I can see the Saints actually being a team that. That just has some injuries and they struggle on defense and go 9-7 and miss the playoffs.
Yeah,
I can see them doing that. I can see the Rams regressing as well. Those two teams who were so good last year. So we both got the Chiefs. I got them over the Cowboys. You got them over the Saints. So take it for what it's worth. Okay, the Mid-America Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, MIAA, one of the best conferences in all of Division II football, if not the best, opens up play tonight. It's pretty cool. Everybody plays on a Thursday to start the season here. Lincoln is at Washburn, Nebraska Kearney at Missouri Southern, Pitt State, go Gorillas, at Central Oklahoma, Northeast State is at Emporia State, Fort Hays State is picked to win the MIAA. Well, isn't that amazing what Coach Brown has done down there? It's amazing. Against teams like Pitt State, Northwest Missouri State, and you're the team that picked to win. They are at Central Missouri State. That'll be a tough opener. And Northwest Missouri State is at Missouri Western, so that's the openers in MIAA here tonight. And as we mentioned, the NFL season starts with the Packers at the Bears. The U.S. Open last night, Nadal cruises. He won in three sets, but that match started a little bit late because the first match went five sets tiebreaker, and Berrettini knocked off Monfils. So Nadal and Monfils, they move on to the semifinals on the men's side. On the women's singles today, it is the semifinals, Serena versus Svitolina, if I can pronounce it correctly. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. And Serena will be on, of course, primetime. And then Bencic versus Andreescu. That's 13 seed versus the 15 seed. Serena's an 8 seed, but we know that's misleading. And Svitolina is a 5 seed. Now probably the better of the two matches. And then coming up tomorrow, the men's singles on Friday, the semifinals. It is Medvedev versus Dimitrov. See, that's what I don't like about tennis. I can't pronounce the people playing. Berrettini versus Nadal. A lot of people are going to say Nadal is going to cruise and win this thing, and you know what? He probably will. So those are the men's semifinals, and the women's final will be on Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday.
And then the men's final is on Sunday. Seems like the U.S. Open is almost always on Labor Day weekend when they wrap it up, but this year Labor Day weekend was a little bit earlier at the beginning, so it's not Labor Day weekend. I like to go to New York. That's on my bucket list. Not to go to New York, but to go see the U.S. Open.
Exactly.
Kind of
like there's two things I want to do in New York. One is U.S. Open. The other is the 9/11 memorial.
Let's just go.
Let's book everything else for everybody else.
Perfect. That's exactly what I want to do. Let's just book it, man. Let's get two tickets and go and let somebody else handle the station. Wait a minute. There is nobody else to handle the station. Okay. So, yes, that's the future dreams of Dusty and I. We start small and work our way up. New York, that'd be fun. I don't know if I want to go to all the hustle and bustle in New York. That worries me a little bit. But it would be cool to see those two things, the U.S. Open and to see the
Memorial.
Because
the Yankee Stadium would be cool, but I'm not spending the money to get into
those. Oh, God, no.
So.
No, we got to work on contacts and connections and relationships in order for that to happen. Speaking of contacts and relationships, maybe Brian Haney can help us out with Yankee tickets. The voice of the Jayhawks is on the way in just a moment, but we end here with Antonio Brown. The latest with Antonio Brown. Well, he's found out that he's going to wear a different helmet. Yay. But now he got a letter saying he's being fined because he didn't show up for some walkthroughs and practices. And now Brown's all ticked off because he got a letter saying he's going to be fined and he's upset he's being fined. Here's a thought, Antonio. Look in the mirror. You're the one that skipped practice and walkthroughs. I know you're a superstar and all, but this has complete implosion written all over the Raiders season. I mean, Antonio Brown, I'll be honest with you. This sounds crazy, and I know there's all kinds of pressure. If I'm the general manager, Mike Mayock, I think I just get to the point where I'm like, you know what, the heck with you. Just leave. We're done. You're more trouble than you're worth. And he was really a pretty good teammate and had a great career in Pittsburgh. I don't know what's happened. If he took too many hits to the head, I don't know. But Antonio Brown whining about fines that he created by not showing up. And now he's upset because they want to fine him? Well, here's an idea. You treat everybody as equally as you can. And to Mike Mayock, I say, well done. You're not above the team. It's team first, I second. Apparently, Antonio Brown says there's an I in Antonio, and that comes first. Brian Haney, there's an I in Haney, but he's a team guy. There's an I in Brian, too, because he spells it B-R-I-A-N. Hey, what a week we've had here on the Sports Ticket. Tuesday, we had Riley Gates of Go Powercat, GoPowercat.com, to talk K-State football. Then yesterday, Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network, he's the host of the pre-halftime and post-game shows, and we had Art on yesterday. So we got the Chiefs covered, K-State covered. Today, we got Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, at least we hope so, here in a moment. And tomorrow, he's going to make his Sports Ticket debut. The voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, will be our guest. And why would we talk to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes? Because John Bowden said we had to. No, that wasn't it. But John knows Mark, and Mark, we've got him lined up because Colorado is hosting Nebraska Saturday afternoon at 2:30. I've seen all the horrible, mean-spirited jokes that John's put on Facebook because he's near Nebraska border, and he's a big Colorado Buffalo fan. So Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, will make his Sports Ticket debut tomorrow. I'm sure he's really nervous about that. he is with us tomorrow to preview Colorado and Nebraska, and we'll preview the college football weekend tomorrow as well. Of course, K-State in action at 11 a.m. against Bowling Green, which you can watch that on Fox Sports FS1. KU game on Saturday night at 6 o'clock against Coastal Carolina is an ESPN Plus. You have to pay for that. So if you don't want to pay for that, you can get it for free. Just listen to the broadcast on Z96.3 Lake with pregame at 5:30 coming up on Saturday as the Jayhawks try to start their season at 2-0. And, of course, on Sunday, the Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chiefs pregame show will start at 11 a.m., kickoff at noon. You can hear that on your home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. Z96.3 of the Lake. Next year, I hope I can say, and you can listen to the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs on Z96.3 of the Lake. Am I dreaming? Is this wrong? I mean, you know, I mean, the Royals won a World Series. They went to two back-to-back years. I never dreamt I'd ever see that.
No.
Is it just too good to be true within a five-year period of time Kansas City is hoisting a World Series trophy and a Super Bowl trophy? Come on, that can't happen, can it? Well, I hope it does. That would be splendid and fantastic. We will hope that all happens. All right, we'll try to get Brian lined up here. While we do that, a reminder, high school football debuts tomorrow night for this season right here on your home for sports and high school sports in North Central Kansas. All right, still working on getting Brian Haney lined up here on this Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. There is some news. KU has hired a new strength coach to replace Hootie. Andrew Hootie left to take a similar gig with the University of Texas, Trader. And I'm sorry, I'm just joking. She beat me up, so that's not very wise.
Yeah.
And she, if I tried to outrun her, she'd outrun me. KU is going young. A 20, old enough to be my son if I had a kid at 15. A 28-year-old NBA strength coach has been hired to replace Andrew Hootie with the Kansas basketball program. Coach Bill Self announced yesterday. Ramsey Nijem, who spent the past 5 years working with the NBA Sacramento Kings, has agreed to fill the role of men's basketball director of sports performance at KU. He's expected to arrive in Lawrence this weekend. He has an impressive resume, and he's worked with former Jayhawks, including the likes of Ben McLemore and Frank Mason, there at Sacramento. So he's very familiar with the KU program, and he was the NBA's youngest head strength and conditioning coach, a role he filled for the past 3 years. And his role will be very similar at KU. And asked why he would leave the NBA to go to KU, he just said this is an unbelievable opportunity with a program that's pretty amazing. And so he's going to take over. And they got a lot of really good candidates, as you can imagine, for that premier job there at the University of Kansas, place Andrew Hootie. And they're going to go with a 28-year-old guy who's been the Sacramento Kings the last 3 years. So at the age of 25, he was the strength and conditioning. He was the head coach of that area in the NBA at the age of 25. That is super impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, we'll see how long he stays at KU. I mean, that sounds like a guy that could, of course, he's in the NBA. He could always go back whenever he wants.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
You hope it's a guy that will stick around quite a while for him if he's got those kind of credentials.
I wonder what that job pays.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know. Wouldn't yeah.
It? We were talking with somebody the other day, well, I think it was John, about how much play-by-play broadcasters get paid. I mean, we know what we get paid. But like a Wyatt Thompson, a Greg Sharp, a Mark Johnson, a Brian Haney, which, you know, we don't really go straight up and ask, you know, Brian, hey, what do you make?
Yeah.
Give me a ballpark. Well, it's anywhere from zero to, say, 100,000. I don't think these play-by-play guys get paid six figures. I really don't. I could be wrong. Now, all their trips are paid for when they go and travel the team, so if you add that in, then obviously it would be. But, you know, we know what Bill Self makes. That's public record. We know what Coach Kleiman makes and Coach Miles and all that and Coach Weber. But what does a strength coach get paid? A strength and conditioning coach at Kansas. I almost be willing to bet you that the conditioning strength coach gets about as much as the play-by-play guy does. Does that sound unreasonable? I have no basis to figure this out.
Yeah,
I don't think a guy left the NBA to take the job for $40,000.
No.
I'm guessing I would almost be willing to bet it's 75 plus.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking the strength coach might even make more than the play-by-play guy.
Well, that's I think so.
Yeah. It's like it doesn't seem like that would happen, maybe, but
right.
Since he's not an actual assistant coach on the staff, but yeah, I don't know. That's I don't know. It's like if I knew a strength coach personally, I could go ask him, like, "What do you make? Like,
yeah.
What's the average for somebody that does what you do as far as salaries concerned?"
Well, whatever he made in the NBA, surely he's making more at KU.
I would think. I mean, I don't think you leave the NBA. I'm good here. I'm going to go take less money to be Bill Self's strength coach.
Well, I told you my guess was 75 plus, that 75 be low end.
Yeah.
Well, Cody just sent me this. He's my crack producer.
Yeah.
Shot that to me quick. NBA strength coaches, that's where the Nijem guy who's 28 was hired by KU from Sacramento Kings. NBA strength coaches report an annual salary of more than $80,000. So he's probably making $100,000 at KU or more. Wow. That's more than the play-by-play guy. I'm going to feel pretty confident with that.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just ask, you know what?
Brian.
Brian, I'm not going to ask you how much you make because that's just rude. But the strength and condition coaches make more than you do. Now I know where his cap's at because I know they make at least 80 in the NBA. And if you go from NBA, you're making 80 and you're going to KU, you're not going to take less money to go NBA to college. It had to be a really good offer.
Yeah.
Really, really good offer. So I don't know how long the contract is. If it's year to year, I mean, obviously you can get out of it. Hootie did too. But speaking of buyouts and money, Michelle Beadle, who I think does a wonderful job. I enjoy watching her on ESPN. She's leaving ESPN again.
Well,
it sounds like she's kind of being forced out.
I mean, they took her off the
NBA countdown for Maria Taylor, which I totally disagree with. But, you know, Maria Taylor has gotten better. When she first started, on sidelines, I was like, man, she's nervous, and I didn't think she was that good. She's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
She's very personable. She seems like just a regular person. Sometimes your sideline reporters, they come off as just robots, or they're not that personable, or all about how they look. But Maria Taylor, I think, is genuine. I think she's a good person. Don't know, never met her, but I think she is. Now, she might be a horrible person. I don't know. But she's becoming more and more of a focal point on ESPN. She hosts some WNBA pregame coverage and stuff, in-studio stuff. And so she is elevating to where now she's going to do NBA Countdown. And the jump with Rachel Nichols has been a big thing on ESPN, and that might actually lead into some NBA games this year from what I read. Michelle Beadle, you want to guess how much she's making on an annual basis at ESPN? It blew me away. I did not realize she was making this much. According to what I read, if that story is correct, I about fell over. And I'm like, no wonder ESPN subscriptions are going up. Or pricing for it.
I don't even. I mean, I'll say $100,000 just to be.
Oh my!
$100,000? No,
come on, man! You think the strength and condition coach is making more than Michelle Beadle at ESPN? Now you've lost. You've lost all sanity, my man. You're not even close. What I read the other day is annual salary is $5 million.
$5 million.
Yeah,
that's not.
That doesn't sound right.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull this up again.
I knew I was gonna be
maybe,
way low.
Maybe it's a $5 million contract, but I could have swore it said. I want to pull it up here because when I saw that, I just was like, "Holy shnikes!" Yeah, Beadle makes $5 million per year. Yes.
That's insane.
But her career at ESPN is in peril mostly because of things no one sees on the air. According to sources, Beadle makes $5 million but refuses to take care of the responsibilities outside of hosting the NBA's premier show, NBA Countdown. So apparently, she's not doing the work. They're paying $5 million, and they said, you know what? You're not worth it. Which, hey, I like Michelle Beadle, but she isn't doing the work, not taking care of her job. Everybody's expendable and fire.
Yeah, she does kind of strike me as a person that's kind of just there when she needs to be. I follow her on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. She's always everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually not quite job-related, you wouldn't think, anyway. But
right.
I don't know.
$5 million a year. Maria Taylor, I don't know what she makes, but
she's a Spurs fan. That's why I like her.
Yeah, I know. Maria Taylor probably makes less than that, obviously. She's not as big of a deal. So I don't know where Beadle goes from here, and there'll be a buyout, of course, if they're trying to get rid of her.
Yeah.
So she'll be fine, but it'll be a second time she leaves ESPN. So that's interesting. Sometimes, and I don't know if this happened with Michelle Beadle, but sometimes you hit it big, and then you think that you don't have to maybe work as hard, or you're coasting on the money. I'm not saying that's what happened here. She's only 43. But I think she does a good job on NBA Countdown, but maybe that's the only job she does, and that's not good enough for ESPN, which ESPN's got to be smart with their finances.
$5 million for her due to one thing that she's good at.
That's a little bit high.
Yeah.
A little bit high.
That's insane. Huh?
Somebody could pay me $5 million.
I was going to say,
I'll do more than one thing.
I thought it was going to be too high when you...
I'll host more than one show for $5 million. I'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to do it. Shoot, man, you know, sometimes, not all the time, you and I... Sometimes we host the Express. Sometimes we host the Scoreboard Show. And then we got the Waterside Wake Up. And we got Sports Ticket. So technically, you and I host four shows. That'd be $20 million.
Yeah.
If we got paid $5 million for every show. Let's work on that. And NBA Countdown isn't all year long. Sports Ticket's all year long.
Yeah.
So is Waterside Wake Up. Yeah. We need raises. Who should we talk to about that? Oh, Bruce.
Yeah.
Hey, we have somebody there. I'll let you talk to that young lady. And here is an interesting nugget. Alabama strength coach makes $525,000. $525,000 is what the strength coach Alabama makes. Are you kidding me? That is insane, but doesn't surprise me. Because Alabama is becoming the new Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. You've heard that, right? Everything's bigger in Alabama when it comes to sports in regards to salaries. Nick Saban makes a ton of money. Assistant coaches make really good money. And now you got a strength coach at Alabama making $525,000. So the strength coach at KU, maybe the new guy they just hired at the age of 28, we're going to say we know it's over 80, it seems like. So it's probably maybe $100,000, maybe $125,000, maybe $150,000. Whatever the case, that's a good gig. And KU's got their man to replace Andrew Hootie as their strength and condition coach at the University of Kansas. And that's good news. You figure KU is going to get a really good candidate and lots of good ones applied. And Dusty is back here. Alabama strength coach makes $525,000.
Man.
Oh, man. That doesn't surprise me.
That would be the highest paid
Alabama.
One, yeah. I mean, in Alabama football, you're going to make more than anybody else, no matter what you're doing there, probably.
I'm feeling pretty confident that the new guy they just hired at Kansas makes at least six figures.
That's what I'm thinking.
At least.
Based on
100.
Everything we've heard so far here, it's like you don't leave the NBA if you're not. I don't feel like.
Right.
And you're at a prime college basketball program. You don't leave the Kings to go to K-State. You'll be the Kings to go to.
Yeah, there was probably only a handful of college jobs he would have taken and to get a raise in the process.
Yeah.
Which maybe Kentucky. Obviously, they got money.
Yeah.
Or maybe Alabama, Kansas, Duke, something like North Carolina. Those are the ones I think of. I don't think UCLA in that tone anymore.
Probably not anymore.
No. Right. Man, I got in the wrong profession. No doubt about it.
My nephew kind of wants to do some of that kind of stuff. I'm definitely going to encourage him to go ahead and study and do that.
Yes, absolutely. That's to be a good gig. And you're still involved with the team and go to the games and travel. It's like you're a member of the team.
Yeah.
You just don't play. And then you're responsible for getting their strength, their conditioning, and everything else. I saw some video Andrew Hootie posted of Texas doing drills, and I've seen them Hootie do that as long with KU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, those are drills I wish I would have known when I was younger and could have done. And then I look at it and go, that seems kind of fun, but kind of really tough and hard. And I'm like, yeah, and then I get hurt doing it if I tried it at 43.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff, like they're jumping with a barbell and like 150 pounds of weight, and they're jumping. Like, it's not a squat. It's a jump. I mean, straight up, toes on the, like, I'm like, oh, my Lord, I would break my body in half. I would die.
Yeah.
I mean, the strength and conditioning is so important. And, you know, when you and I were in school way back in the Stone Ages, weights became a thing, but it wasn't anything close to what it is now.
Oh, no.
I mean, now it's a year-round thing. You know, my son's an eighth grader, and he's going to go to high school, and if he chooses to play football, or any sport for the most part, but especially football, it becomes a 12-month thing. Like, you need to be in the weights all summer long. Well, it's not mandatory. Yeah, it kind of is. I always love the, it's voluntary. No, it's baloney.
Yeah.
It's voluntary, but it's going to be held against you if you're not there.
Oh, without question.
So when coaches say, well, you know, you got other things to do, it's voluntary. Unless you're a stud, that won't be held against you. If you're a stud and you're doing other stuff to stay strong, then it's not going to hurt you to miss the weights in the summer. But if you're a guy that's trying to make the team in regards to more playing time or this or that, you don't show up, okay, that happens. But they will remember that.